be shopping and having fun. With your daughter or with your son. We cater to everyone. What a happy place.
Happy place.
Oh, JP Mega, 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 Mega. The one-stop shopping, Dominica, Nigga, 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 Nigga. You could be shopping and having fun. Bring Papa and Mama along. We cater to everyone. What a happy place. Happy place.
Oh, what a happy place. Purchase 6 or more of any item and you automatically qualify for a discount. Check us out at the Mega Store in Funkole, where there's lots of parking. On Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. On Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And on Sundays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. JP Mega, the best family shopping experience.
A pleasant good morning to you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is such a pleasure being here with you yet for another episode of your favorite health talk show of the week, Health Vibes, brought to you by the brand you trust the most, Jolly's Pharmacy. Again, we welcome you. Those of you who are tuning in for the very first time, a hearty welcome to you. I can guarantee you, after the hour and a half, you will be glued. And this is what it is like. Once you have felt that vibe of Health Vibes, you are hooked for life. So let me say good morning to my co-host, Miss Trudy Christian.
Good morning, Carlton. Good morning to the listeners of Q95 Radio. And of course, good morning to our guest in studio, who we will introduce in a while. Carlton, I can see you hyped and you really are making a good point. Once they tune in, they're going to get hooked.
That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
And Trudy, we want to reach out to Jacinta Fagandifo, one of our hostess as well, who is still, but well, I think she's doing better, but she's still on sick leave. And Jacinta, if you're listening to us this morning, we send hats and lots of love and hugs and kisses to you at home at this time.
Yes.
Jacinta, I'm saying Jacinta, Trudy, we want to, you know, to reach out to the many farmers at this time who may be listening to us on the farms. Again, thank you so much for food security. Mm-hmm. I know the weather is a challenge for you, and so let's pray that we get some rain. But let I don't want it on Sunday, if God spares. Eh? I want to enjoy jazz. But let's
yes.
We can get a little something, even if it's in the evenings. Before jazz, before Sunday comes.
Yeah, to cool down the place.
Yes.
It rained a little last night in my area, though.
Nothing in Mero.
Okay.
Nah, you know, the dry climate actually begins in Mero and ends in Collie Ho. Yeah, that's the area of Dominica you'll find the most cactus.
The dry spot. Yes. So there was a little rain, not much, but yes, it is extremely hot. We're experiencing a heat wave, so people need to take precautions in this weather, stay hydrated.
Yes.
For me, I have an office job, so I'm in the AC for the majority
just
of the day. But for the people who work outdoors,
yes,
and are moving around, they
need to
protect yourself from the extreme temperatures that we are facing, and meant to last until Sunday, I have read in a weather report. So, you know, you need to drink that water, stay hydrated, stay out of the sun if you can. And now is not the time for bulky clothing as well.
I was at the gym
on Monday, and you know, the ladies in my class, we were so hot, and you know, the trainer said, you need to wear less clothes to the gym now. it's hot. Yes.
Well, I suspect you will have a fan at that gym very soon. But I'm not, I know that fan, but I'm not going to say the name of the gym either.
No.
That person may have to go scooping around to find out where Trudy is at what time. You know, but this morning we have a very interesting yet very relevant topic. To some people, they may find it a bit sensitive. So I want to really put out that disclaimer out there. But it is all part of life. As we know, they say life begins with a smile and ends with a tear. I read that many years ago in a book. And if you look at even our romantic relationships, you like that chick and, you know, every minute you see her, you're smiling and all the love is in the air. And then when that relationship breaks up, something goes wrong, that tear comes down. The tears comes down and sometimes even pain and rejection and everything else comes. But life is like that. And even when a baby is born, the entire family, everybody's happy and smiles and everybody wants to see the baby and everybody wants to kiss up that baby. Imagine, yeah? Babies are never dirty, you know. People kissing babies in every part of their bodies. But in life as well, all of us will expire one day.
Right.
And oftentimes it is a time where we cry and the chronicles of all what we would have remembered of that person's life, it floods our minds and our emotions during these times. And many of us, it's very difficult for us to deal with death. But this morning we are going to be talking about death, mm-hmm. but we are going to look at it from a scientific standpoint. And as well, many of us are always inquiring. They take my mother, they put her in a bag, the funeral people come home, they take her, they put her in a bag, and they bring her somewhere, gentle rest, holy nurse, or Northeastern funeral. And then most of us go back to select the coffin, maybe bring the clothes, see what kind of bouquet you want, or wreath, mm-hmm. you want, and that kind of a thing. Some of us don't even want to see the person again until maybe the church day. So we have some experts in the house, and we are so happy to have them, because we have a young man, and I should say young man, that is one of his kind in Dominica. And he's going to give us a little story as to what made him get into that particular profession. And at the same time too, we are really going to pick his mind this morning, because I myself, Moele Cornet, I want to know what happens, you know, when that body gets to that funeral home, how they making those people look so pretty. You know, should we kiss them during the funeral? We see people kissing and hugging and don't want to let go. Is that sometimes you don't even see people use hand sanitizers and you're wondering, you know, am I going to get sick? Is that healthy? Just last week, truly, a lady met me in the supermarket and asked me, you need to bring somebody, you know, and she didn't know that I had that show planned already, because I seen that every day and I myself, I don't know if I can do that. I tell her, well, none of us know, because I can tell you when grief takes over you and you see your mother or daughter or whatever it is in that coffin, you just never know how you're going to deal with it. So sometimes we have the health concerns, but we also have to look at the psychological side of the emotions that often floods people during that particular time. So this morning we have with us the folks, very good people. I call her my auntie. She's such a light, you know. I call her my auntie, but she's one of our guests. And we have another young man who is joining us, but they are from Gentle Rest Funeral Home. This morning, we are going to be understanding what happens to our body when we die, and the entire, you know, the etiquette that should be taken as it relates to our loved one placed in the coffin and in the church, the do's and don'ts, some of the diseases that are associated with the dead, and why precautions should be taken. So we're going to be discussing all of that. What we're going to do, we're going to take a short break, and then we will formally introduce our guests and the discussion this morning.
Oh, and if they say convenience could make a big difference, then you can trust me. I know just where you should be. And that is JP Mega, 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 Mega. Your one stop shopping, Dominica, Nigga, 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 Nigga. You could be shopping and having fun shopping with your daughter or with your son. Shopping. We cater to everyone.
qualify for discounts. Check us out at the Mega Store in Funkole, where there's lots of parking. On Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. On Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And on Sundays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. JP Mega, the best family shopping experience. Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With health vibes. Helps. Every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health vibes. Helps. Education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando with co-hosts Jacinta Fig and Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday. So be sure to tune in. Health vibes. Health vibes every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30.
Health vibes. Health vibes.
Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Welcome back to Health Vibes. This morning, as I said, we are looking at understanding what happens to our body when we die. So we have in-house this morning, two members of staff from Gentle Rest Funeral Home. Mm-hmm. We have with us Miss Afinia Henry, who is the marketing and HR manager of Gentle Rest. And we have as well Mr. Jerick Henry, I hope I've pronounced the name well, who is a certified mortician and embalmer. And he also works at Gentle Rest. Good morning, lady.
Good morning.
And gentleman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So happy to have you guys on.
It is a pleasure to have you all this morning with us. And, you know, to talk about, some time ago we had Gentle Rest. I think it may have been about a year and a half ago. We had Gentle Rest with a similar type of show. But this morning we might be looking a bit deeper because we have the experts, and we have someone who is really trained in understanding what happens to the body when it is picked up, whether it's on site or at home, and is taken to the mortuary. And I do hope that you won't be quivered or fearful, because we're talking about death, and we're talking about cadavers. But all of us will go through that process at some point in our lives. And sometimes they say, well, not sometimes, but all of the times, they say that knowledge is power. This segment of Health Vibes is brought to you by Wisdom for all of your dental products, whether it's mouthwash, whether it's floss, dental floss, whether you're looking for the right specific toothpaste, you must choose Wisdom. So, as I said, we are talking about the dead body this morning. So we're going to start with Mr. Henry.
Yes. Yes, and ask him a bit about himself, because I know already people are, you know, listening, are wondering, you know, who is this Jerick Henry that we have, a mortician? So Carlton, I know they're already inquisitive, yes, about who he is and why did he get into this particular field. Of all what Carlton has said about people and their fears about the dead bodies, you know.
Why we?
Why you? Exactly.
Yes. Well, my name is Jerick Henry. I am 23 years old. I'm from the village of Maho. I am a licensed funeral director and embalmer in the state of Georgia. Mm. I attended Gupton Jones College of Funeral Service in Atlanta, Georgia. And that's where I got my professional training at.
So what inspired you? Is it something that you just one day stood up and said, you know what, this looks like a lucrative career? It's not one that's very popular. It's one that I may never be out of a job. Something I might, or you had a science interest?
Well, initially when I was growing up, I wanted to be a lawyer. But since I grew up in the family industry, the CEO of Gentress is my aunt. So I had a family relations there. So I grew up around the house where they literally build coffins. So I was always exposed to it. Oh. So from an early age of 5, since the company was established, I've always been around, in and out.
And coffins never quivered you?
No, I just grew accustomed to it. I used to go on the removals. I even remember probably like when I was 6 years, I used to be doing funerals with my aunt, hopping in the hearse, stuff like that.
And so even your first, your first time being at the funeral home, and you would have seen a dead person placed or brought in, at what age may have been when you saw the first dead person at,
Jesus. Probably 5, 6, around that age, yeah.
And you were not afraid?
No, I may have been felt taken back a bit, but I was more like curious.
Oh,
I would say.
So you were curious.
Yeah.
So that, would we say that was the catalyst that, mm-hmm. that caught you to go and study?
Yes.
How is it called? Mortuary?
Mortuary science.
Mortuary science. Okay.
Mortuary science.
So it was just, so like for example, while I was in high school, I used to go for my summer vacations. I would spend it at Genterus, work the whole summers, go after school, that sort of thing. So like always going in and out, being there, seeing all the different aspects of the business.
Interesting.
Well, so my aunt has always like been my mentor in like coaching me and showing me the ways and stuff.
Okay.
And then when I turned 18, I was moving to the States and I told her that this was what I kind of wanted to do, and she motivated me to go.
Okay. What about when you tell people now, this is what you do, people that you just meet or friends, this is what you do. What is their reaction like?
I get all kinds of crazy response, like, oh, don't touch me, or I'll get a crazy question. Someone will be trying to ask me something, trying to understand something, and then I'll just go by explaining to them. But sometimes it's like taken back, but some are receptive, but most times they are taken back again, fear of the dead human body.
But truly, somehow you would be a little linked, because as a biologist, having dissected things and taking students to lab where you seek cadavers placed in formaldehyde or so.
I'm not freaked out in any way by dead bodies. I know people have that, fear. But you're correct, Carlton. I have, seen and dissected dead bodies. As a biology major, and even when I taught biology for years at the college, we would bring the students to Ross to look at dissected cadavers, because that's how you learn. So I've never been freaked out by it. Even family members I've had who have passed, I have viewed the body and not been freaked out, but some people refuse to.
Yeah.
So I do know that there is a legitimate
fear. Even up to the day of the funeral, they may choose not to.
Right.
It just depends on the way they are taking the grief at that time.
Right. Yeah.
So in definition or characterization, tell us, what is a mortician?
A mortician, some may call us an undertaker, embalmer, or funeral director, all in the same. We are the ones who is charged of taking care of the decedent dead human body and arranging for the funeral. So from the initial picking up of the person who has passed on, all the way preparing to the funeral until they are interred or cremated, whichever the case may be.
A couple of years ago, I saw a show from a journalist from St. Lucia. I'm just trying to remember the name of the show. It was extremely popular. I've not seen a few. I haven't seen it in a little while. But he did an episode of what happens, when we die and so forth. And it was very graphic to show you how they put the person in the coffin. They showed when they were showering the person. And many of us, we do not maybe even were thinking that they used to bathe dead people in preparing them for a funeral. You just thought maybe you died that way and maybe just put some wipes, wipe you up, and
And most other times, people think that once you get picked, once you pass away, that you you are just picked up, put placed in the fridge, and then on the day of the funeral, we just slap makeup on your face. But that is definitely not the case.
So if you want to walk us through, like,
yes,
you
know, process.
Someone has died, they have called gentle rest, whether it's at the hospital or at home, and your men have gone, they've gone to the house. Walk us through the process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, okay, let's say someone has passed away at a house, a residence. Okay. So we get the initial call. So we fill out, take all the information of the decedent, and that would be placed on the first call sheet. So the guys would have to go with that form so we can identify who we are picking up. So they take the equipment, which is like the cot, the gurney, and then they head over to the house. Once they get there, they meet with the family, greet the family, convey their condolences, stuff like that, and then proceed to transition the loved one onto the cot. Then go back over. Once you get back to the funeral home, you would have already been identified and tagged once they get there, before you get onto the cot. You are placed in a refrigeration unit until the family makes the final decision as to what they would like to do. When would the funeral be? If they are going to do a cremation, let's say, or if they're going to do a traditional funeral.
Is there a particular temperature that particular refrigerator has to be? We know freezing is at 0 degrees Celsius. Is it within that temperature or colder than that?
It's between 30 to 34 Celsius degrees. Mm. So anywhere between 0 to 34 Celsius.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And Trudy, you were going to ask a question?
No. My thing, you mentioned if the deceased is picked up at home. What if it's somebody has died as a result of some violent crime and it's the body's in police custody? Not police, but it's at a crime scene. Mm-hmm. Is there a different procedure?
Different procedure. It's same tactic, but let's say like a motor vehicle accident. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to walk with extra equipment to handle the case at hand.
Mm. Okay.
So.
There's also the protocol, because it's a crime scene, because it's a sudden death. Sometimes it's not a crime scene, it's just a sudden death, mm-hmm. that the police is there. So there are certain procedures that the police must perform before the funeral home can move in to do anything. And until we get the clear of the police, we cannot touch the body.
Yeah. Okay.
Same wise, unless the doctor pronounces that this is dead and gives a death card or a death certificate, sure. whatever, we cannot move the body. So. And with respect to a crime scene or a suspicious death, once it is considered a body that is in the hands of the state, we cannot touch that body once it has been in the fridge. So we can't allow family members to visit. We can't touch any of the clothing, remove, bathe, do anything like that.
Until
the day of the autopsy. And at the day of the autopsy, it is officially delivered back to the family, which is the funeral home, and then you move with the rest of the protocol.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So there's a lot of, sometimes you will find that family members want to see their family members today, tomorrow. If we can't, we'll say we can't. It's a body that is the body of the state. It's an autopsy body. It's a crime scene. We don't know. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's a suspicious death. We might go and you might mess with evidence.
Yeah,
so for that, it has to be preserved. The crime, you know, it has to be preserved. Mm. So just so that the family understand, it's not really the funeral home, and that's the protocol for every funeral home. Mm. That's the protocol that has to be followed in the best interest of the deceased and the family.
That's an eye opener for me. I know that, and I think many people who would be listening did not know that either.
Yeah.
And sometimes people might find it, you know, you just hear and you heard that your son was murdered
and you want to see him
passed, you've not seen him, and you're wondering, you know, why are they restricting me?
Yes.
But now that you've explained it, the person is really the state's property, and the two investigations would have to be done.
And plus there is a length and time between they do the autopsy, so that in itself takes a while too before it's done. So that causes a lot of different factors.
And also, sometimes a person dies at home, and there is not a doctor that is in close proximity. Mm-hmm. We may have to transport that body accompanied by the police to the residence of the doctor, whether it's a hospital, whether it's a health center, wherever. But unless that doctor pronounces that person dead, we cannot move the body.
So you were taking us through, and so that body is in the,
the refrigeration unit.
Let us suppose that the individual, because I personally would have maybe gotten into your profession. Death doesn't cover me, and I have always, from since I met you, I was like, just only seeing you, asking you, okay,
yes,
yeah,
because I just find it's a very intriguing,
yeah, it is,
career. Because I'm like, what happens, you know? I remember asking you, late last year, sudden last year, there was a terrible freak accident where a man got decapitated.
Yes, I remember.
In Portsmouth, and I was asking, how would you?
Yeah, I remember.
This man. How would you get to put his head back? You know, and you were saying to me the science behind it, and you got excited, like what he would have done to so that his family would really get that,
that
almost form of normalcy, and that to me is amazing about that career. You know, somebody's burnt or somebody's drowned. Somebody drowned.
And really strong. A couple of days after, or weeks after. Yeah, that's a serious
how
case.
How do you get them looking almost normal?
Yeah, because we at Gentle Rest, we like to pride ourselves as the funeral home has the best reconstructive skills and skill sets, so that when your loved one has passed, whether it's because in death, body goes through different changes. Mm-hmm. You might have been a very light-skinned person and have become as black as charcoal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to re-bring that back to life and allow the family an exposure, you know, a public exposure. It might be that, you know, there are different, you know, of an accident that has, you know, we have to reconstruct the entire face, the body, to ensure that the families can get that person as light and looking as, you know, as normal as possible. Mm-hmm. And that is a special passion, that's a special skill, and it takes a lot of training to do that. And you know, so we probably
look at a photo, is a photo.
So,
definitely.
Yeah.
That you can see, well, okay, so, this is what my mother nose looked like, and now
so
I'm seeing it
so like, for example, all of which you have mentioned, like, how would I take care of scenarios like that would be through embalming the body. So embalming is the sanitation and the preservation of the dead human body to restore lifelike appearances.
So if the body is not embalmed, what happens then?
If the body is not embalmed, that means the body is going to be decaying at a faster rate. Oh. And decomposition, if it's given the elements, then it makes it very like impossible to view the loved one if that is not done, because that is like kind of the foundation for where the restorative arts and all of that comes in.
No, I wanted to ask him, because I was not, I know many, many moons ago, when my dad passed and he was embalmed overseas and the body was sent to Dominica, I was told that way back then we did not embalm locally.
Yeah.
So now I want to know, you know, you mentioned embalming, is it something that we do locally?
It is something, we do it locally now. Uh-huh. Like, no, it has been done in the past, like it was only done when we had ship out cases, but now everyone is like embalmed based on our care.
Okay.
So, because that goes in for like presentation, sanitation, you don't want no disease transmission, anything like that. And you want to ensure that, because the human body goes through physical changes and chemical changes.
Mm-hmm.
So even as you may pass away, you start losing certain parts of your features and stuff like that. So that's where the chemical fluid and the solution comes into full of that areas and stuff like that.
I wanted you to say what embalming was exactly, because
it's a chemical solution treatment. Yeah.
Okay. So
it's a formaldehyde based treatment solution.
Okay. Inserted into the
Into
veins?
The arteries.
Arteries. Okay.
And drain through the veins.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I
use an injection centrifuge pump attached to a hose which has a needle which we call a cannula, and then I make a small incision, locate the artery, raise it, and inject. and massage as I go, and set the features as well.
Ah.
So I would have to close the mouth and close the eyes and make sure I at least a smile or pleasant look.
Mm. So I wanted to say, isn't in Dominica we've come a long way as far as embalm is concerned, because back in the days we didn't do embalm, and we had to really bury the persons within a certain number of days,
a time frame,
from 24 hours of death to now. Look how far we've come, and But just a few years ago, when we had, you know, serious accidents, remember when we had the trio who died, young people in massacre, the massacre bridge, they were totally, you know, not fit for viewing. We had to fly in embalmers into Dominica to help us reconstruct. And we brought in a team of brothers who were doctors, reconstructive surgeons, to assist us to build them back so that they would be able to view. And still, you know, they had to create all kinds of things, and we had to put them over a mesh, over glass, so that the viewers would not, you know,
people not to touch.
Yeah, touch them. But no, you know, we don't have to send for anybody. Neither do we have to ship our bodies anywhere. We are right here in house doing all of these things.
I suspect we have the lines are going and ready for calls, so we're going to start taking some calls. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yes, good morning. Since being living in the United States, and I know that I can't compare Dominica with the United States, but I know anytime there's anything with a body that's been murdered and there's investigation, the body never goes to no funeral home, only goes to the morgue, which is a hospital. But I guess Dominica have a different policy, because the people in the funeral home, it could be, I don't know if the officers put the body there and it's someone else in the funeral home moving the body, it shouldn't that still be former could be tampered with evidence. And reason why I'm saying, as a friend of mine that works in a hospital, and she said, no, the body don't go to the funeral home, goes to the hospital morgue or the morgue where they do all the investigation. And my other question is, who pays for the body while it's in the funeral home? Since it's, is it the family, the government, or, you know, whoever? Since the board is in a private setting. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, caller. Well, unfortunately, the morgue at the hospital doesn't house loved ones. Every funeral home in Dominica, actually, instead of the body being placed at the morgue when they die, every funeral home has a zone in which they pick up bodies in. So the hospital doesn't use the refrigeration unit, so that's why they can't house the bodies in there. So the bodies have to be housed at the different funeral homes in order to make sure that they are kept in order.
And the different funeral homes are assigned. The police is the one who assigns by, and we are based on sections of the island. So one funeral home is responsible for the northeast, the other one for the east or the east south, and the other one for the central zone. And so based on that, based on where the deceased has passed, the person has passed, that funeral home is called by the police. It is the police who calls you once it's a crime scene. By the time we get there, the police is already on the scene. They've already taken all their photographs, everything. And as I said before, we can't do anything with the body until the police has given us the clear way. They have accompanied the funeral home, the body to the funeral home, and ensured that the body is stored according to protocol. So this is a very strict and respected process. Every funeral understands that. And so if you should violate, I'm sure it's not going to go down, just right. I just violated. So this is, every staff members understands that, and I'm thinking in every funeral home, because never have we had a case in Dominica where a funeral home has been compromised because of storing a preserving a crime scene body.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think he was also asking about, in a case like that, who pays?
Yes.
The government.
Well, the government pays once it's a body that has to be autopsied.
Okay.
Once it's a crime scene body, whether it's a sudden death, whether it's because of a suspicious death, whether it's because it's an accidental death, anything like that, it belongs to the state. So until the day of the autopsy, it doesn't matter where the body is, then the family is handed over officially the body back. And that's where they decide what they want to do. They decide before, but on that day, it might, that's where you'll find that a body being stored at a particular funeral is handed over to another funeral home because the body, the family has a particular preference for a particular funeral home. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it's gentle rest, of course.
No, we lost that call.
Yes, okay, I suspect. Let me just give the numbers again: 449-3096, 449-3097, 616-4257. Let's take this call. Good morning to you, caller.
Yes, Kaltan.
Yes, good morning.
How long can a man body last for?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. He's asking how long can an embalmed body last for?
Embalmed body can last from anywhere up to 5 to 10 years, or it can go even longer based on the chemical that is used.
And I wanted to even further that question. What part of, well, I mean, you mentioned the embalming fluid is inserted into the artery, so it's internal. But in terms of decay of the body, what goes first? Because I have seen graves dug up and many, many years later, and there are still certain parts of the body
and features that are identical.
Yes. So I wanted to know, you know, in terms of that process, you know, what is lost first, or what would you expect to remain long after?
The eyes would be the first to go.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it will travel down to the abdominal area.
Uh-huh.
But the main, you will still find like their skull.
Mm-hmm.
You may find their features, their bones, their mm-hmm. long bones. It just depends on how long they have been dug up.
Okay. Yeah, I was surprised to see hair. Full hair.
Sometimes you will find full hair. It may not fall off. Sometimes it will fall off just before the embalming, actually. Mm. Or it may last longer.
So with the embalming process, your blood, the individual blood, is extracted.
Yeah, that's what's drained. That's what's drained.
Because most of the bacteria is in the blood. So that's drained out. But the organs they remain.
They remain,
so all of the organs remain.
All the organs remain intact. Even after the autopsy is done, most times I get questioned, you take out all the organs, like, did you put the organs back in? Like, you cannot bury someone without their organs. So once they are conducting an autopsy, they open and check like the brains, the abdominal area and stuff like that. Then they place everything back in. My job is to go in and treat the body by embalming it, finding the different arteries. Now once I have done that, I would have to put everything back in. Although I have it on the site being treated.
Wow. Because I've heard, you know, rumors that when someone, you know, has done an autopsy, all of the organs are placed in a plastic bag and they just dump it like in the cadaver. You know, you hear things that a lot of times people have misinformation, mm-hmm. and
but that's not the case.
That is not true. So listeners, you're hearing, you're getting a good behind the scene, you know, experience. When my sister died, I had a sister who died in 2010. And I remember the mere hours before she was buried, we were given the privilege, again it was by gentle rest, to observe and to participate in the preparation of my sister. I remember my older sister doing her makeup,
mm-hmm.
and it was my first time actually witnessing the process. I did not know, honestly, that dead people were being showered, like really showered with rag and soap and shower gel and
shampoo, cream powder.
I thought that really and truly that they were just using a wipe, and maybe just, I did not know that. And then I saw them try her well, put diaper, then her underwear, and you know, all of this, and I was like, wow. But are you guys, why is it essential? Because a lot of people don't know what goes on behind the scene. To block the ears and the ears and the nose push, cotton, or whatever. Why is it important to do that? Can the cadaver or the body, the dead person, can they still release gases?
Yes, they can still release gas if they have gas in their stomach. If there is fluid within their thoracic area, within their throat area, they can purge out. So like fluid could come out throughout their mouth or their nose. So that's why most times we pack the orifices.
Mm. Because chemical reaction still continues.
Even though the fluid is aspirated, sometimes you just never know, especially if you have a case where the person is edematous.
What does that mean?
Edematous meaning the body is retaining fluid. So it's waterlogged. So most times you have a lot of fluid when you have those cases.
So what would normally cause that in that case?
What would normally cause that? It would just be based on how much fluid that they have in the system.
Okay.
So, like the blood, like what they have in their like digestive system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
I think you misunderstood my question. For instance, Kian, the individual that allegedly they said that he kidnapped the little girl, since it's a criminal investigation still going on and his body in a funeral home, that's why I was talking, not a loved one. I know a loved one will go to the funeral home. I'm talking about like Kian situation. Who pays for the body while it's in the funeral home? That's what I was asking. Thank you.
Until such time that the body has been officially handed to the family, it remains in the hands, the responsibility of the state.
Of the state. Yeah.
So if the family has been officially handed the body at an autopsy, and they choose, because families can do that, they can choose to keep their body in a funeral home for months, even a year, 2 years, because of all kinds of other things going on. It is then the responsibility of the family to meet that cost, because you have been officially handed. If you are not officially handed, which every government has, when I say the government, I mean the medical providers, it's not completed, or the autopsy has not been done for whatever reason, it still remains in the responsibility of the state.
So let me ask you, does the family have a right to say, well, they don't want an autopsy, or the state,
if it's a clinical?
It depends. If a family, because families have that prerogative, if their family has a medical history, a well outlined medical history, and then you went to the hospital, and in the casualty you passed within less than 24 hours, and generally you are supposed to be autopsied, but that whole history and the information, you know, leading to the death, points to the fact that a doctor then can confer with the family, or the family can confer with the doctor, look the history, for the last 10 years, for the last 5 years, my family member has been suffering from hypertension, whatever the case may be. And the doctor, it has to be a doctor who must always confirm or approve that, okay, we can skip the autopsy because of I have seen, I can verify. But a family member on their own, unless a medical professional that was dealing with that doc, with that individual, unless they give that permission and that okay for no autopsy, not happening.
Okay.
That's clear.
I wanted to, so we had a call, I guess the caller will call back, but I wanted to go back into the preparation of the body, because before we,
caller called back. Good morning to you, caller.
Yes, good morning, Matt.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to your guest.
Yes.
Somebody just asked a question that the lady answered the question, right? But to me, that question was answered diplomatically. But I want to be clear. She said that when that happened, if accident or something happened, the state, whoever brought the body to the funeral home is responsible. That tells me that the state is responsible. But I want to ask, does the state pay?
Of course, because the funeral home is, but the various funeral homes are providing a service. We are providing a service either on behalf of the family, where a loved one has passed away from natural causes, no suspicion. The family is responsible for the cost from the time it reaches the family autopsy. I mean, the funeral home goes to the home to pick up the body, or the hospital. Then until burial, the family is responsible for all of the cost incurred. The government is only responsible for the cost when it's a suspicious death, an accidental death, a death where the police is involved. Mm-hmm. And once that cost, that the police no longer have an interest in terms of they have done all what they have to do before burial, and they hand over to the family. The government pays. Otherwise, the funeral home don't belong to the government. They are providing a service. So for every funeral home that provides that service, they have to be paid, and mm-hmm. they are paid.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that's clear. That's clear. Yes. Let's move on. I have several questions about the preparation of the body. One, let's say the body, and Carlton started with that. If there is some severance of a limb or some part of the body, what about your preparation in terms of reattachment? How does that go? One, and then secondly, you mentioned, and Carlton was mentioning, you know, making up the board makeup and how you know his sister was making up his sister. Yes. But do you, as a mortician, is makeup a part of your duty, and how do you know manage that? So I have two questions: reattachments and makeup.
Makeup.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. So, like, let's say I have a decedent with a severed limb, let's say, and like I have it in my possession, I would have to embalm. I would embalm the area, the full body first, and then focus on whichever that part is, embalm it, and then I would have to reattach it by suturing it back up.
Okay, so you like a medical doctor too, you know, surgeon.
So I do a lot of suturing and reattaching and reconstruction. Wow. Yeah, I do surgeries and stuff like that.
It's interesting because, you know, people wouldn't think of the technical skills needed. It's so like, you know, a medical doctor, you're doing this reattachment. Okay.
Even for like someone who gets a head like that comes off, I would have to, there is a device that I would use. I would put it in that space, and then I would reattach the head. But yes, again, it would be embalmed and all that too. But I would still have to re-suture it up.
Okay.
I've had cases like that.
So I guess with all of this technology and innovation that has been, and science that's behind the scene, I guess that's what increases the cost. In a case like that, the cost will come up.
Right.
Yes.
It's not a normal.
It's not a normal.
Putting the person in a coffin, and if you want the person to really get as close to
as possible,
and all of that science will have to be, it comes, because I would believe it's a lot of time consuming.
Yeah, because like certain cases, it just depends on what I have before me. So it could take me half an hour to an hour, or it could take me 5 hours. It just depends.
And as far as the makeup is concerned,
makeup.
You are the morgue is, it has its section, which is like a beautician's shop. You have an array of makeup because you have people with different skin tones.
Right.
So when you do makeup, you have to match them as close as possible to their skin tone. Mm-hmm. So whether, and families will come with various requests. She didn't like makeup, or this one loved makeup. Make sure you give her this, that, and the other.
Right.
Bright lipstick, light lipstick, just lip gloss. So you have to take in all of those minute but very important and critical information that the family is giving to you, so that when they get their loved one presented to them, it is as close as possible as what it is that they requested.
And I think that's very important.
And and gentle rest, that's why we work as a team. So even the person who is at the front as the receptionist or the typist or whoever, whatever clerks they may be, or the cleaner, everybody comes in to take a look at that body before it is finally presented, so that different eyes from our end will be able to say, well, you know, a little bit too much of that color. I think it needs to be dampened. Look at the picture. I think she needs a better smile. All stuff like that. So by the time we presented the body, we've done a whole lot of stuff.
So you hit me there with that one. A better smile. How do you get that smile? How do you get somebody to smile?
So,
because we always believe that the person died that way.
No, so setting the features, the focus while during embalming is making sure that I get a massage in the face, massage in the mouth area into a smile. So that is like one of our main focuses on like the hands and the face.
Wow, and do you put makeup on the hands as well? Is it all over the body?
Maybe light. It just depends for like if somebody has like a hematoma or like wrinkle, they may need a little brushing up, then yeah. But yes, I do makeup. I do I cut hair as well. Okay. I dress the bodies. I do it all.
Mm-hmm. And another thing.
I do restorative arts, so that's like with wax and stuff like that.
And my father had to do that. When my father was murdered, he was stabbed 47 times.
Oh my God.
And they had to wax him. And I never understood what was waxing.
It has different levels. So like you have a lighter version, which is like a lip wax for like light touches.
So what is a wax? It's almost like wax.
Candle
wax they put on it's the not, wall?
No, like it's wax. Like it's wax, but they make it in. It has
like a hard paste.
So it's actually it has like a light one where it's like almost like Vaseline. And then you have a much firmer one, but you have to break it down because you have to use heat or your hands or blow dry to kind of make it into a smooth surface. So it's like in a big jar, but you have big fragments of it, so you can use pieces and pieces.
In a case like that, would the mortician, because I don't know what they have done with my father besides that, would you have to wrap up a person like a mummy before you put their clothes on or anything like that? I don't know.
Tight wrap. You said 47 times. I think most likely they probably would have to do that. But they are placed, most times the body is placed in a union hall, which is a full body coverage. It's almost like what you have for if you're in a medical
hazmat
suit.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So the body is placed in that and it's wrapped as well before the clothes is placed on as well. In scenarios like where you have spillage out.
So I'm getting the view that your inventory is very, very interesting.
Very, very
interesting. Because I mean, just listening to all of you know what goes on behind the scene that many of us don't see, you know, that body gets to the church and the funeral director slowly opens that casket or coffin. And then we see, you know, I have seen some funerals where the funeral director may prohibit people from touching the family's face or so. Why is that?
It's hygiene, one. You don't want to, because you're not sure of what the person may have died of until you see the death certificate, the autopsy report. Two, you don't want to end up dirtying their clothes with whatever may be on their face, if it's makeup or whatever, plus the chemicals as well. And then you're not sure what might be going on in the person, so you just don't want to touch. You can touch your loved one like on the clothes area, but just avoid touching the face.
But there's also,
and then you can also, if you touch based on how you touch a person, you can end up opening up their eyes or unfixing their mouth, and then that can kind of cause a scene, and you don't want to have that. You don't want to have that, having to try and close somebody's mouth while at viewing, and there's a whole crowd of people.
Mm-hmm.
And another area is if that person had been reconstructed because they had been, you know, had gotten serious damage from an accident or something. So you don't want persons to go, because remember, you have to build up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go touching the face and then you start smudging and doing all kinds of things, and it's just not.
It's like a spoiler.
That could actually cause a nightmare to
the family. Absolutely.
It can cause a spoiler job and then like mental anguish.
We have a caller. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling. Good morning, caller.
Yes, Carlton, good morning to you and your guests. Pretty interesting listening to you guys, man. But I was tempted to call because I heard you asking about the wax. Because basically, before I go into that wax thing, I have a couple of people that I know pretty close. You know, I've been knowing them for about 40-some years. And this is exactly what you're discussing. That's what they do. And it was a while before I knew that's what they did. I knew them for like 4 or 5 years. Because I've always had this thing about handling the dead, you know, and people have this kind of mystic about people who handle the dead and talk about the hands, and but it takes a special person to do that kind of work. But onto the wax thing, that you was kind of intrigued by that one. They use wax in the, I don't know if you all heard of the Madame Tussauds Museum, Wax Museum, to do full figures. They got Obama and all kind of celebrities, all the ones in Hollywood, And there's also another wax museum. It's replicating a lot of freedom fighters, you know, in the struggle in the Revolutionary War in America. I think that one is in Baltimore. So there are figures that have been made in wax in a museum. And the place, I guess, knowing that it is wax, like the gentleman said, has to be maintained at a certain temperature, because if the temperature gets too hot, you need to have a problem. But I just wanted to drop that in, so to let you know that, you know, statues are made in wax also and maintained over years.
Keep calling.
All right?
Thank you. Let's take some more calls. I see the lines are already going. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Yes, what I want to say, what about kissing? You think that's okay? Because of the furious?
This other caller before you answer. Lines are going. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for holding.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, good morning. I have a question, but it's for myself. Today or tomorrow, God called me home, and I do not want to be embalmed. I would like a green funeral.
There is also green embalming as well, green, using green chemicals. But if it's not your wish or desire, then that's your sole decision.
And it's very important that we said, that is why we educate the public. You can make, you can put your wishes out, and then your family is going to honor your wishes.
Yes.
They don't want flowers. They don't want this. I want to be written in a bread, you know, I don't want no red. I want no blue. I don't want all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I want this. And you don't do your church service. You prepare in advance.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just getting ready, because we are going to all go.
True.
So, and the person who gets their everything that they want when they are dead, at their funeral, at their preparation, it is going to be honored.
True.
Mm-hmm. So let us, you know, become more open towards planning, pre-planning.
Right.
That is why we have a pre-plan.
And telling your family
about
the
plan. And we come
to plan.
You and we talk to you about death and dying and pre-preparation. Gentrest has a gentle care program that we can get to you and talk to you about this.
Yes. All right. The question about the kissing, Carlton.
Yes.
Oh, the kissing. Yes. The kissing is a yes and no. And when persons come to visit, that's why we offer you a private viewing.
Also,
so you come with your
love.
Yes. So you come to Gentrest and come to have your family viewed before you expose it to the public. And when it is exposed to the public, we expect the body to be honored and the family to be not in that state of distress. But if you've already made your visit and you've said all what you want to say and given your privacy with your loved one, then at the end of the day there is no need. And then you do not know what the individual died of, what they may have going on with them still. And you may not necessarily be, you might just be a friend and not a family member. So we really don't encourage public display of
emotion. The other thing too, because I know one of the chemicals that is used in embalming is formaldehyde. With my father, I could smell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess
strong.
They may have used a lot. And I could have smelled it. So
and it's
even kissing somebody on the lip, you might, and knowing that these chemicals are there, and I have as well been told that once you die, you have a death bacteria or a dead bacteria. That you become, your body begins to decay almost on the spot.
It's Clostridium perfugium. Clostridium perfugium is like when the body starts building up gas, where you have the stomach starts bloating.
Mm-hmm.
So that causes a rapid cause of decomposition, because then the colors start changing forms. Your face may get distended, like your eyes swollen, your mouth swollen, stuff like that. So it would mean they would have to be done right away and with an extremely strong chemical.
Mm-hmm. We have two questions.
Yes.
I wanted to post two questions I see coming in through our Facebook chat. Somebody asked about gluing the eyes shut. Is that something that's done? When you mentioned about the eyes may open if the face is touched. And
that's
a
precaution. For those
scenarios. So you can glue. Okay, and then I am seeing somebody.
And the mouth as well.
Okay, because somebody else asked about shaping a mouth shaper. Is
mouth?
That? Yes.
Probably a mouth former.
Okay.
There's a mouth, there are two ways that I can, less, well, three ways I can set someone's feature.
Mm-hmm.
By if they are using dentures, I can use their dentures.
Mm.
Or I can use a mouth former. It's cut in the shape of a mouth. It's a plastic device.
And you put it in?
I put it in to give them the shape of the
okay.
mouth.
Okay.
And then while I'm embalming, I'll be again massaging. Or I can use cotton. The same cotton again is placed into the nose, is placed into the mm-hmm. eyes, so that you don't have any purging out of any of that stuff. That's all.
Mm.
And sometimes the person's own physical feature may alter the type of smile they have or not, or
mm-hmm.
difficulty of performing. Because a person, you know, we have some people who have buck teeth, and you know, sometimes even in life, their mouth wasn't even able to really close.
Mm-hmm.
So that poses a challenge for us, that we have to work a little bit more closely
yeah,
and more studiously. To ensure that the person looks as normal.
The lines are going. Many people have, amazingly, many people have questions. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling. Good
Hello.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, Carlton.
Yes, I'm listening.
Can I get online, please?
Can you get online?
Pardon me? Speak up. I'm not hearing you. Speak up.
Okay, are you asking if you can speak offline?
No,
online. You're live. We're hearing you.
Carlton.
Yes.
I would like to get online. I have a few questions to ask.
Yeah, I'm hearing you lively. You're live.
I'm live.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, can I go ahead?
Yes, you can.
Can I go ahead, Carlton?
Yes, you can. You can.
Hi, morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Oh boy.
Ask your question.
I can hardly hear you.
Ask a question. We're hearing you loud and clear.
Pardon me?
We're hearing you loud and clear.
Oh, you're hearing me loud and clear.
Yeah, so just ask the question.
I have good morning, everyone. Okay, my question is, and I see it frequently, that when the body at church or whatever, the family members or friends or whatever come over the body and kiss. And they're always kissing the body. And to me, I'm always saying, I'm telling myself, well, there must be some chemicals, you know, and why would you be kissing the body? You know, and that is a grave concern of mine, you know, that why would the funeral director, the person right there, allow the people to kiss. I think if you went to the funeral home as a family and you kiss and you said goodbye to the thing, why do it in church? Another thing I noticed lately, that they don't just pass a file and pass the body. They and the cameras are all over. Like lately, last week, you think it's a whole camera photo shoot. Everybody is crowding up and taking pictures. I don't, you know, I'm listening to you all, but these are the two concerns that I have.
Thank you, caller. Thank you.
So that is why we offer body supervision.
Mm-hmm.
And our staff, that's why you'll find there's always more than one staff at any gentleman's funeral, so that we also seek to honor any request that the family may have at the funeral itself. No touching, no cameras. So we have
mm-hmm.
to ensure that these things are enforced.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll say to people who receive camera, please no pictures. The family requested no pictures. No touching, please, and so on. We will try to do that. But you know, Dominic, as it is already, you tell them no touching, they're all up inside of the person's coffin. You
mm-hmm.
said no picture, they're somewhere else trying to stick. So, but we are responsible
mm-hmm.
because we've assured the family that we will honor, we will seek to ensure that no pictures are taken. So to the general public, you're saying, if we say to you, please no pictures, do not touch, it's because we are actually trying to execute or, you know, the family's wishes.
Yeah.
So do cooperate with us at that level, not because gentlemen don't want you to touch all your friend, you know, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, it comes back down, as you're saying, formaldehyde is a cancerous agent,
yeah,
so you don't want to
have people exposed to it. One aspect that we haven't touched on, and I know it's something you wanted, yes, is cremation.
Yes.
You know, people sometimes say that they would prefer to be cremated. We wanted, you know, a little information. What is cremation? And I want to know whether it's available locally. Can I soon? It will be soon. Okay,
yes.
So tell us what is the process like for that?
Okay, cremation is the body. Okay, so I'll explain to you how it's done. Mm-hmm. So cremation is placing the dead human body in a retort chamber, mm-hmm. and the body is used between physical and chemical heat. It's disintegrated into ashes.
Okay.
So, and then it's placed into a temporary container and then placed into a...
So in a sense, it's simplistically burning up the body. Body.
Yeah, incineration. In a confined space.
That is not polluting the air.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they are very strict. They are very strict rules of regulation when it comes to a operation of a crematorium. Mm-hmm. You have to get specific permission. Mm-hmm. You know, whether from different health,
operator,
environmental
and
health,
funeral director to be able to,
and then you have to have trained personnel to execute that as well.
Okay. So can the family, can loved ones witness that?
Yes, you witness it because
you can witness it. Yes,
but not witness the burning itself.
But you are sitting there while you witness the door will be closed, but you are able to see the process.
Oh, because I remember as a boy many years ago when I lived in Chimit. There was an Indian man that was burnt in Rodney's Rock.
Yes.
I remember that. And the smell was bad. The smell of the body being burnt and all the flowers, and it was like a Hindu.
Service?
Ceremony. Okay.
It was public in Rodney's Rock.
Yes, yes. I remember that very well. And so I am there thinking, is it something similar
can
people witness it?
No, you get to see your loved one brought to the chamber.
You'll see your loved one enter the chamber
because you want to make sure that it's your loved one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you will see it from behind the screen, behind the glass.
Behind
the
door.
Yes,
okay.
And then when it is being removed, you will be handed over your ashes. But you will not be there in the... By the crematorium itself.
When it's placed in the retort, all the bone fragment is not broken down.
Right.
All together, so mm-hmm. it then has to be pulverized into a machine, and then you get the ashes.
How long does this process take? Is it like?
It's about an hour, and then you have the pulverization for about like 2 hours. You can probably like 3 hours.
3 hours.
Yeah.
Is it more affordable than earth burial?
It all depends on what type of service your loved one wants to do. So like, let's say someone may want to do a cremation, want to be really cremated, and they don't want to be buried, but they also want to have a service, or the family member wants to have a full service. So that means then a coffin would have to come into place. So it just depends on what the family wants to do at that point.
Okay.
And there are many different things that you can do with cremation in terms of like, you can turn your loved one you can do like stones, diamonds, ice globes, stuff like that. Or necklaces,
you can
fertilize
or make a tree.
Yes.
And call a tree.
You can plant one.
And you're saying we can do this locally soon?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll be able to do it soon.
We know that Gentlerest is in construction as we speak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And part of the plan is a crematorium. That will be part of that and offering, you know, full crematorium services. As of now, we are shipping our bodies out to the islands
to be cremated and cremated. Okay.
Elsewhere for cremation, and that in itself is an expensive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right now, we have 3 certified crematory operators on staff.
Okay.
So we did the formal training already and are ready.
So just ready for
and for everything else, training is very critical to all staff.
Let's take this call.
Yes, let's take a few more calls before we call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I just saw last week they opened a new crematory building in Lapley.
All right. I think there was another call. Okay, so there is one that the caller is saying that was opened recently.
Okay.
I guess by another funeral home.
Yeah.
Probably. Yes. So,
Nothing beats having 2 or 3.
Nothing. Let's take this call. Yes.
Do you call up and call in?
Carlton.
Yes, good morning.
Are you aware that the Israelites came from Egypt?
Yes, from my research, I have read that.
Yes,
yes.
Embalmment. It's been going for over 5,000 years since 300 BC.
What I'm saying is, this is how they used to embalm the pharaohs of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that was a tradition. It only comes down in the West because when the Italian invade Egypt in the year pre-BC, it came down with that tradition to the West.
That's why that tradition came from Egypt.
Because that's what they do your pharaohs in the time passed by. And if you in the Great Pyramid, they were pharaohs that was embalmed there for thousands of years.
Yes,
only when they invaded.
Thank you, but let me just because we have a little more time. Mm-hmm. But why is it that from your experience being a mortician and funeral director, being in this profession as a young man, do you feel that some way somehow you are desensitized to death because you see it and work with it every day, because sometimes people feel that, or if you're doing this, you don't have much of an emotion. You don't feel sorry as such, or you get so accustomed to it.
I approach every loved one as if it was my own family. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I take very seriously. So I have to balance my emotions in being strong and making sure that I do a good job. In order for the family to be able to
I asked a similar question recently. You know, how do you all hold up to do these funerals? Because, I mean, can you imagine doing a child's funeral?
Yeah.
You know, how do
it gets tough, yeah. But it's
many
just...
Many times we bring down in tears as well. And yeah. We hold the family and we hug them and we cry with them. Mm-hmm. You know, you cannot divorce your emotions totally. From this, otherwise you are in the wrong business.
Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, the family is coming to you at their lowest point in their life,
true.
And they need someone to be that shoulder to cry on. They need someone to be strong for them, mm-hmm. and to be able to help them with their arrangements and stuff like that.
And to follow up on that question of Carlton's, the longer you spend preparing the body. Because we just mentioned, you know, people may have a whole host of things that you may need to do depending on the... So you mentioned, you know, sometimes you could be spending hours preparing this one person.
Yeah.
Do you form a different, you know, sort of attachment to this work when you have invested so much time in this preparation?
Yeah. Like, I believe I can remember everybody that I've embalmed, and I have done a lot. So, especially like when I have like tough cases, that I feel like that's kind of what brings out the best in me. It's testing my skill set, so that's when I get creative.
Knowing that the family feels like, wow, this is what my son.
Like just last week, like I had someone who was like going through it, and I had to do what I had to do, and the family was very satisfied. So,
because the ultimate goal is to have the family satisfied. You don't bring more grief, and there will always be occasions when something might mishap might happen, like everything else in life.
Mm-hmm.
But it is never the intention of a funeral home to bring more grief on an already stricken person and a family. So it's always your best. I see Jerry comes sometimes. Our staff is back in at 2 o'clock in the morning. After a long day, they will take a break, come back in, be there at 5 o'clock, just to make sure by the time the family arrives, everything is like tip-top shape. So it's a thing that becomes personal to them, whether it is the trimming of the coffin to the embalming or the booklets. Every aspect of that family, of that funeral service, has to be spotless. And so we have various eyes that will look, and still something might escape you. But the ultimate goal is really to provide a service that is beyond the expectation of the client.
I want to go a little deep in about a year ago there was a situation in Trinidad with big news where this young man had died and they had placed him in a vehicle like he was actually sitting on a chair and he was being paraded and so forth. Is it something that someone can request? Is it under our law? Is it something that has legal connections? Or can people do that? I saw one again from Trinidad with a grandpa. He looked like he was like a soccer boy and they dressed him like that. And he was sitting and
soccer
whatever
boy.
It is. Is it a bit extreme, or
it's
is it like?
I mean, it's not extreme. It's actually that sort of thing started in Puerto Rico, so it's kind of a Caribbean. It seems to be kind of a Caribbean Miami thing, Trinidad thing. So, in regards to that, I'm not sure.
You know what? I would add to that. It has to do with culture.
But it has to do with culture and personalization of the funeral.
Yes.
So, I guess if someone is trying to really have their funeral personalized to that extent,
do you think Dominic could be ready for something?
I don't know about
the
exposure
sitting
sure.
on and driving through a
glass
sure, like man. The Pope,
yeah.
the glass mobile.
I'm not sure if they're ready for it yet.
But you know, we were not ready for naked girls on the streets at Carnival, and right now it's part of our Carnival
yeah.
product.
I'm not able to do it.
So I'm saying that when you look at, especially in Africa. You see people being buried in a coffin that's the shape of a Coke bottle.
Mm.
You know, we do certain aspect of that here where we will personalize
yes.
our coffins. He's a fisherman. We do all kinds of, you
yes.
know, what we call it, the spray thing that we do.
Yeah, like the airbrush.
Airbrushing. We would airbrush your face. We would airbrush your announcer or your pharmacist. We put your different
yeah.
equipment and instruments on, airbrush it on the coffin. We do that kind of thing. Yeah, but maybe one of those days we'll get to the
but that type of in order for them to achieve that would be again embalming and the way in which they position the body.
Yes.
So it's able to it can be done. It's just
because you may have to break the person's knees or have to get
not necessarily. It just depends on how what they died of, what are the different factors.
And as I say, Ben, you've died, you know, the individual has died, and they are in the chill room, let's say, for 12 days. Normally, the funeral, you're buried within 2 weeks now. Do you get so stiff that you cannot have flexibility, or you still have some flexibility?
So, rigor mortis sets in automatically 4 hours to 6 hours after you have passed. So, it's just a tightness of the muscle.
Oh.
So...
So it's
the muscle that
okay.
tightens. So what is done is I have to massage that area and flex the limbs in order to make them free flowing again.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you have to have, so I can imagine the amount of work you have to do. You have to do somebody that's really big, and you have to be massaging all this for when you hold.
So yeah,
but we also equated to persons like if you're going to cook a frozen meat. You take it out of the freezer,
defrost,
and so you have it defrosted.
Mm-hmm.
So we always have to a few hours before the
embalming,
the preparation. We have to
remove the body.
Yeah,
you know, expose it properly, put it out properly, so that it can be at a stage where it would not be defrosting while the funeral is going on and wetting up all the clothes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's also different processes that we have to.
Yes.
We're still in a little time. Let's
yes.
take this.
Yeah.
Let's take this caller quickly. We must finish at 11:40 for sure. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Yes, it's me again. Have you seen Jamaica funeral nowadays?
I know they're having like a carnival.
Like a carnival. Something they left. Drums and music and everything. Jumping up, everything.
The person wants.
It goes,
Vincent is very common.
Again, it goes back to personalization of funerals.
Yes.
I think it was
because
a former a teacher recently from the Adventist Church,
mm-hmm.
from St. Vincent.
But even in Dominica, people throw alcohol in the grave. They send bullets up. They send balloons. Different things.
Yeah.
We are
I
just
think,
very mild when it comes to those
yeah.
things.
Think
but believe you me,
in Dominica, like we are still stuck
conservative
and still stuck on like traditional funerals, like having the day to day going to the church.
Yes.
Really follow the order of service,
yes.
and then there is nothing of the person that
yes.
really in
yes.
there showing anything of the person's life. Like let's say you are a pharmacist, like
because I always
that.
Said when my father died, my father was always a very very simple guy, white t-shirt, Levi's jeans, sandal,
mm-hmm.
and that was him, and his sunglasses. That's how I would have buried him. But when I got my aunt and him, I put his suit and everything for him. But I would have buried him I could not picture him ever wearing a suit.
Yeah.
Like even at my wedding, you'd have worn a suit.
Yeah.
I like the idea of you can really personalize
yeah.
The
individual.
But then again, and it goes back to something Afinia said, it's about you making those wishes of yours known, the preparation, you know, doing it in advance, because I'm sure if people say to their loved ones, this is what I want, then, you know, they have a guide, you know, and most people would try to honor that guide.
Things like the happy hour. Oh, my person wasn't, I'm not making no happy hour. But your family, your loved one was a happy hour person who loved to entertain and cook food. It's like my funeral, you need to have lots of food and good music. And I think cry a lot. I'm like, cry a lot. Because I'm alone and I'll be missing. Yeah. So cry. But cry, when you finish crying, food, drink. Because all my life for cooking food, I give people. So you know you're going to have to give me a lot of food. A big So well, you know I say a big happy hour. So watch my siblings if I die before them.
I wanted to ask Jared. Because we have to close now. Have you ever had a case that really shook you up? Like a situation or that you have had to deal with in your career that really shook you up that you will kind of never forget?
Yeah, I've had a couple, yeah.
And then debrief? How do you kind of
psychological decompress. I can't wait to get home once I'm done, because most times I work late. It's a 24-hour job, 365 days a week. So I go home, take a shower, relax, go on my phone, call my friends, probably pour a glass of wine, relax, decompress, chill, or go for a drive.
But we need people like you. And a lot of the times we don't want to think so, that we need people in that profession, you know, or children who's, you know, we will be trying to inspire our children to be, you know, a doctor and this. And many of us don't think of that or much being a mortician.
As a young person.
As a young person.
Yeah, and most, like, even in this industry, you find a lot of folks who are in this industry are older, older.
Mm-hmm.
People that are going into like the second career, stuff like that.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, truly, we had a really good show, and I suspect the calls could have gone. Many people were calling, and we're still getting calls even now, but we must close up.
Yeah, before they throw us out. Right?
A few seconds to give some parting words and you want to say in closing.
Well, we just want to, you know, let the public know that we will be doing more of these programs to just public awareness information service that will be provided by Genderest. And, you know, our offices, you can call us at any time, 448.
3439.
3439.
235-3439.
And we have our agents in various communities. We do our outreach programs. And just, you know, get on the program and just educate yourself in terms of death and dying.
And then you mentioned something earlier on about that you can
pre-arrangement plan.
We have a pre-arrangement plan it's a plan that you select which plan you want, which type of plan you want, and you pay according to how you want. There is no expiration date, no cancellation, no late fee, no nothing. You put a certain amount that you can, whatever you choose to put, up or down, miss a month, miss 2 months, come back, put in. And at the end of, you know, once you reach your cap, it's your cap. And that if you die before the cap is arrived, you just have to pay the difference between where you selected and where you want. You may have selected one plan, but when you die, your family decided to give you something bigger than they chose. They just have to pay the difference between the two. It's quite easy. And our staff is very, you know, well informed about our program. And you can call us, come to the office, or we have somebody come to you to explain it to you and your family.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I do hope that you have learned so much today about the dying process and what happens when a body is brought to the funeral home. You would have gotten an insight as to what happens. So no one is brought to the church without having a bath. So even in death, you have a bath and you smell it nice. Like me, I've always said, you must put a nice bottle of perfume in my coffin.
And even the family can bring the select perfume.
And my sunglasses has to be there. And I was always a well-dressed guy. I wanted to be well-dressed.
Right.
No jeans and t-shirts at my funeral.
Not at all.
Dressed up very well. And I want it very solemn. I don't want no bacchanal. Nice and solemn, gentle and soot.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for listening to Health Vibes. It was our pleasure bringing this episode to you. As we always say to you, your health is indeed your greatest resource. Preserve it. Have a good morning, everybody, and remainder of the week. And hoping to see you at Jazz this coming Wednesday. This coming Sunday.
Yes, I can.
Take care.
All
bye-bye,
right.
Everybody.
Video.
Bye-bye.
Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting, lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan-Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in.